Well, here we find ourselves at the end of one year and the start of another. And it's always a good time to look back and to look forward. I draw your attention this morning to Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. We have in life various ways of marking the passing of time. Birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, New Year. God has provided us with numerous signposts to help us remember the passing of time. So we have something to look back to and something to look forward to. God set the sun in the sky and the moon in the sky so that we could measure the passing of time, the seasons, to know where we were during the course of the year. We knew when to plant, we knew when to reap, we knew when to settle down and prepare for cold weather. And God did these things. We know now that the earth rotates on its axis. That gives us day and night. It rotates around the sun and we are slightly angled. And that gives us the seasons. So while it's cold at this time of year in the northern hemisphere, in the southern hemisphere, it's very warm. And then in 6 months' time, it will be the other way round. We read in scripture about various markers being set up. There was a marker set up by Jacob and Laban, a marker that they promised that they would not cross. It was something set up in order that Jacob could say to Laban, "You're not coming after me. You're staying your side of this obelisk, and I'm going to be the other side. And I am going to look after your daughters, who are now my wives, and care for them, so you don't need to worry about it." You'll find that in Genesis chapter 31. And in Joshua chapter 4, we read that the Israelites were instructed to take stones from the bed of the River Jordan and to set them up as a pile. And we read those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." In leaving Egypt, God established for the Israelites the Passover, to remembered every year, so that they would think back to where they had come from, to remind themselves how God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, to remind them that it was through the death of the lamb, and the blood of the lamb was applied to the lintels and the doorposts, so that the angel of death passed over them, hence Passover. And now, since the coming of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ left for us the Lord's Supper to be celebrated as frequently as we choose in order to remember his death on the cross, his broken body and his blood shed, in order that we might have our sins forgiven through his sacrifice. So as we come to this time of the year, end of one, beginning of another, it's time that we look back and we reflect. What has been gained? What has been lost? What has changed? Have things improved? Now, we're doing this not in order to be nostalgic. It's very easy to be nostalgic. There is, of course, the old joke, nostalgia isn't what it used to be. But most of us are able to look back and to consider our past, to consider where we've come from, to see if we have made progress in life, if we have made progress in the gospel. In Isaiah, these words, "Look to the rock from which you were hewn." Where did you come from? Look to the quarry from which you were dug. Some people refer to it as a pit. Think what you were. Think what you have become. Think how God has treated you, how God has delivered you. Isaiah was speaking to the people of God at a time of uncertainty and weakness. And it was a reminder to them that they needed to listen to God, to remember what God had done for them in the past and what God was promising to do for them into the future, that they might have confidence. So where we've come from determines where we are. Now, we might say, I'm not in a good place at the moment. And you can look back and say, well, it's because of what I've done in the past that has brought me to this position. I've made mistakes. How can I correct those mistakes? How can I not do those mistakes into the future? So we need to think, what are we going to do ahead? Having considered the past, what's going to shape us in the year ahead? We need to listen to God. We need to listen to what God has to say. He wants us to pursue righteousness, and he wants us to seek him. He wants us to know him. There are all sorts of things we might desire in this coming year. But what we should desire most of all is a desire to know God, to love God, and to serve God. That we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And, of course, our neighbour as ourselves. But there's all sorts of voices that we hear around us, literal voices from people we meet in the street, in the supermarket. And then there are the voices we hear through the television, through the radio, through the newspapers, through things that we read. All these are demanding our attention and are trying to persuade us that we are wrong and we should be following what they are saying. But we should be saying to ourselves, I only listen to them in so far as what they are saying is what God is saying. And first and foremost, we must listen to God and we must follow after God. The world tends to want to lead us into sin, and we should be doing all that we can to avoid going into sin. There are so many distractions. There are so many temptations. We need to learn to recognize these things, and we need to learn how to resist these things. Some of them are very enticing, and we need to learn how to resist those enticements. We need to look back and say, here is how I have fallen in the past. Here is how I have fallen into sin in the last year. This is how it came about. What should I have done in those situations? And you can say to yourself, well, there were alternatives. I could have done this or that or the other instead of what I actually did. We need to recognise that sin ultimately starts in the head, in the mind. Sin is conceived there. And then if we give in to it, we give in to the temptations, and then we practice sin, that is not good. And so as soon as it is conceived in the mind, we need to say to ourselves, that is wrong. Let me think of something else. Let me think of something positive. Let me think of what the scriptures say. Let us turn to God and ask God for assistance and for help. The Lord Jesus Christ is there always, ready, willing and able to assist us. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. And he works within us. He is all powerful. And we can look to him and call upon God for the assistance of God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to overcome the temptations that come our way. So at the end of one year, we can ask ourselves, what is our current spiritual state? What is at this precise moment? What is my standing with God? Is it the same as it was at the beginning of the year? Was I an unbeliever at the beginning of the year? Was I converted during the year? Was I spiritually down in the dumps at the beginning of the year? Have I grown in grace over the course of the year? What progress has there been in my life? Do I know God better? Have I fed more upon the scriptures, more upon his word? Is God more of a love to us than he was a year ago? So think about where we have failed and the progress we need to make. We read earlier from the letter of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 3, and we could reread the whole of chapter 3. But Paul there is talking about the importance of growth in grace. I'll just read the first three verses. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. We are directed how we should grow in grace. We should seek in every way to put on positive spiritual aspects of our lives and to put off those things which are sinful, those things which lead us astray, those things that encourage unrighteousness, and rather seek after righteousness. So we look back, as it says in Isaiah 51, to the quarry from which we were dug. It's not a glamorous thought. We were sinners. We were not in God's favour. Yet God came to us in the person of Christ to deliver us from sin and death and hell. Once we were dead in sin, but then we were made alive by God's initiative. God spiritually raised us from the dead. And how glorious, how wonderful is that thought? We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God made us alive and raised us up into heavenly places. And believers are now in heavenly places, even while still upon this earth. And we enjoy grace and mercy and loving kindness from God, even in the midst of a sinful world. So we look back where we've come from, where we come from, we might think back decades to the time when we were first brought to Christ. And we look back and we see, what were we like? I look back and see how I was, and I am horrified and I am disgusted with the way I behaved and the attitudes that I had. But that all changed when God awakened me, brought me to Christ, and I knew peace and joy and mercy and love in my heart. And I was transformed. I was no longer the person I was. I'm not now the person I was after I was converted. I have made progress. I look back over all those years and think, but I haven't made as much progress as I could have done. I look back and think of ways in which I could have done things differently. But here I am, as I am now. And all I can say is there are things in the past that I regret, wish I'd done things differently. But how am I going to live now into the future? So we look back not with regret. We don't look back and say, oh, wasn't I wonderful? Because I'm still a sinner. I can't be proud of my sin. It should humble us as we consider how often we have failed God. And yet be thankful to God that he has brought us through all those things. And so we should be looking forward. We should be considering what God will yet do for us into the future. God has not changed. God is still the same. He continues unchanging from eternity past to eternity future. God is the same. God has made promises. His promises do not fail. And the purposes of God will continue to be fulfilled. We may not understand in what way God will fulfill his plan and purposes, but we do know that God has been fulfilling his plans and will continue to fulfill his plans until the consummation, when Christ returns to judge the world in righteousness and raises everyone from the dead, and living and dead will stand before him at the judgment to give an account. We need to remember what is said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Now we must not misunderstand what the writer to the Hebrews is saying there. He's not saying Jesus is still a little baby, Jesus is still hanging on the cross. No, Jesus is the same in his character. Jesus is the same in his substance. Jesus is still God. Jesus is still gracious and merciful and loving and kind and will receive sinners who repent and believe in him. So what can we do going into the future? We continue to look back and remember. We continue to reflect and see errors. Continue to look back and see ways in which we can improve and seek to put into practice things for the future. So what are we going to do in this year that now lies ahead of us? Well, one thing we can do is to be more careful and more consistent in listening to the Word of God. Now, for some of us, that means literally listening. With modern technology, it's wonderful. You can have the Bible on your phone and it will read the scriptures to you. And so we can listen almost anywhere to the Word of God. But as well as being able to listen, we are able on our devices or with a literal Bible, we are able to read the Word of God. Some people prefer listening. They find that they can concentrate more on what is being read to them. Other people find it better to have a physical book and to read the scriptures so that they are not bound by the speed of the narrator, but rather they can go at their own pace. Whatever is best for you, I would urge you and encourage you to read or listen to the Bible. Pay attention to what is said. Be aware of context. It is so easy to wrench a verse of scripture out of its context. Sometimes you might be reading and suddenly a verse, it appears to jump out of the page and beat you around the head because it addresses an issue that you just happen to be thinking of at that time. But you've got to be careful. Is this in fact what the verse is saying? There is that famous example of the person who is seeking guidance, what they should do, and they flip through the Bible and they stick their finger in, and Judas went and hung himself. Ah, is God telling me to go and hang myself? Let's try another verse, and they stick their finger in. What you have to do, do quickly. Ah, no, that is not what the Bible is telling you to do. That is wrenching verses out of their context. It is like the verse in 2 Timothy when Paul says, when you come, bring the cloak and the parchments. Which cloak, which parchments? What am I to do? It's not addressed to you, it's addressed to Timothy. And so therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is Paul saying here and what does that communicate to us? And I would suggest what it communicates to us is, we think about people who are in difficulties and having trials, and that they might need something warm to wear. They might want some books to read, especially the scriptures. We need to help people. So read the Bible regularly. Some of us follow a Bible reading plan. A Bible reading plan that I have a link to on the church website. I'll perhaps remind you once again where that is. So that if you haven't got a copy, you can download it. And then you can follow through. It takes you through the whole Bible in a year. 3 or 4 chapters a day. For some people, that's too much. They find it difficult to read and concentrate. So in that case, then read a chapter a day. Some people are able to get through that 2, 3 times, 1 year, 1 year. I did the reading of the whole Bible 6 times, and that was a great blessing. But that was because I was travelling to work on a train, and so when I got on the train, I'd get my Bible out and I could read, and so I had lots of spare time that would otherwise just be spent looking out the window or reading the newspaper. So there are these many ways in which we can feed upon the Word of God. Do what you are able, but read, consume the scriptures. In remembering God's grace and mercy to us, remind yourself constantly that you are a sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. And that should stir up within you gratitude, thankfulness to God for what he has done. And that should be a motivation to you for living a godly life. We need to recognise that we are dependent upon God for continued mercy in the days ahead. We can think about practical things in terms of how can I tell other people about the gospel? Perhaps writing a letter, might be making a comment on the internet, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram or whatever, you could make a positive comment about the gospel. Or you might pray that you have an opportunity to bump into someone in the street, in the supermarket, sitting on the train, and have the opportunity to speak to them about the gospel. One of the greatest gifts that you can give to anyone is a gift of spiritual life, which comes through them hearing the word of God. And of course, we should listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says in places such as Matthew 19:19 or Matthew 22:39 and other places as well. We should seek to do good to all men. We should seek to love our neighbour as ourselves. And if you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, someone says to Jesus, and who is my neighbour? And so he gives the example of the Samaritan, the hated and the despised Samaritan. Despised by the Jews, because they weren't Jews. They were mixed race. They had adopted bits of Judaism. And so the Jews didn't like them. They didn't have dealings with the Samaritans. But when Jesus spoke about this man who had been beaten and robbed on the road, it was not the priest, it was not the Levite who looked after him, it was the despised Samaritan. He was the neighbour of that man. He looked after him and sought to do him good. And when Jesus said, having gone through the parable, he said, who do you think was a neighbour to that man? And the person replied, the man who did him good. He couldn't even bring himself to say the Samaritan. But we should, whoever people are, whatever we might think of them as people, whether it be they support the wrong football team, they follow the wrong religion, we still seek to do them good. We seek to bring God's blessing upon them. They might not like that thought. They might not like us seeking to do them good. But we are to seek to do good to all. So, in looking back, we are not seeking to be nostalgic. We are seeking to learn from the past and look forward to the future. We have to remember certain things. We have to remember, as Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verses 10 to 12, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We need to learn wisdom because of the shortness of life. We might think 70, 80 years, that's a long time. But once you get past 70 and you're beginning to think, I've not got many years left, what am I going to do with them? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Looking back, how much time have you wasted on frivolous things? And what are you going to do in the future? Are you going to make better use of the time that God has given you? God has made us, God has shaped us, we are as we are here now. What are we going to be like in the days and months ahead of this coming year? Let's hope that what is Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 6 is true of us. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, may God bless you today. May God bless you in the year ahead. May you know God. May you know the forgiveness of your sins. May you seek to glorify God's name by the manner of your life and to prove to the world how much you love God by the manner of your life, that you glorify his name and people around you say, here is someone who knows God and here is someone who loves God.